Well, here we are again. This is Volume 7, Number 15. What did you say? How many times have you said that somebody, what did you say? The scripture we find in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. And interestingly, just before we started this message, we were all talking about how fortunate we are that we've been blessed in many of the ways that we've been blessed. But in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, listen to what this says. This is very important. Very important. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land He is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people, as He promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in His ways, then all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, the crops of your ground, in the land He swore to your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. Now I'll talk a little bit more about Deuteronomy 28, but I wanted you to hear these are the blessings that are pronounced on the people of God. Now these were Moses is getting this, and he's explaining this to the children of Israel. But we're grafted in as believers into Abraham, and we have the blessings of God. If you ever wonder what God's desire is, well, what did He say? He said that these are the blessings He desires for every person to have. Now, you know, there are times when we simply find it necessary to ask someone to repeat something they have said, perhaps because we were distracted by a thought, a loud noise, or even a poor connection over some type of device, such as a phone or a radio. If you think about it, it's not hard to be distracted. You know, it happens to me all the time. I'll be listening to somebody and trying to attend to them, and some thought will come through. And I know the scripture says to take every thought captive, and we try to do that. But at the same time, we become distracted by things that are flowing through our mind, so to speak. There are distractions, and sometimes when we're distracted, we'll have to say to somebody, what did you say? Now, Jesus talked of distractions when He told the parable of the sower. I don't know if you've ever thought of it this way, but He did. And then He found it necessary to explain what He had said to His disciples. Look in Mark chapter 4 for this. Look around the little before and a little after the 18th verse. But in the 18th verse, it records it this way. Still others, he's explaining about distractions. And he says, still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things comes in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. So Jesus was saying, there are just things that distract us from the things of God. I've certainly been distracted in my life, and probably you have too. But Jesus was explaining this. Now, he explained other things. Of course, this is from the parable of the sower. And he explained a number of things, but I wanted to point out this one because he said, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word. Do you find you don't have time for the word because you're distracted? Well, the word gets choked then. One of the great things about the Bible is we can review, check out, and memorize what God has spoken to us for our benefit. You know, God did not give us Scripture for His benefit. He gave us Scripture for our benefit. Do you realize Scripture is a gift from God? It is a gift, oftentimes never unwrapped. But it is a gift nonetheless. It is important we focus on God's Word and not man's Word. Let me say that again. It is important we focus on God's Word, not man's Word. I have received in my life, certainly, what most people would consider negative reports from man, such as, you will die soon. Now, that's a negative report to people because of some medical condition. The doctor was not lying, but giving me what he understood as truth. And given everything that he understood as truth and what should naturally happen and progress, he felt that he was giving me the right message. But you see, it was then necessary for me to look to God's word for the ultimate truth. Scripture says in the book of James, believe and not doubt. Believe and not doubt. Now, I'm reading here from James chapter 1, verse 6. Believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like the waves of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Now, anyone can be tossed by doubt and become confused. As a matter of fact, the use of doubt is Satan's favorite weapon, I think. I can remember back when I was just a young lad, and I mean a young lad, I was in grade school, and there was this dear lady who taught Sunday school and Vacation Bible School. And this dear lady was probably 4'9" or 4'10", maybe even a little less than that. And she would talk to us about being sailboats in the wind. And she said, you can be a person who has a little engine in them taking you where you need to go, or you can be like the crowd and be like a sailboat in the wind, she would say. And they just go whichever way. The wind blows this way, and they go that way for a while. And then the wind blows another way, and then they go that way for a while. And I can still remember that sweet little white-haired lady telling us those stories about sailboats in the wind. And she said, you don't want to be a sailboat in the wind, do you? And I was one of those kids that said, no, I don't want to be a sailboat in the wind. But you know, what she did for my life with that little illustration was so important. Because if you remember, when Satan came to Eve, did God really say distraction from truth, you see? Did God really mean this way? Does that really mean this? Does this really mean that? You become distracted. And when you become distracted is when you become vulnerable. That's when the enemy can really have some fun with you. Now, the other thing that I said when we're talking to somebody is, we can be distracted or maybe by a thought or a loud noise. Have you ever had a loud noise just interrupt your thought process? You know, there are many people who are so overwhelmed by the loudness of the world, it is difficult for them to hear from God. This was true of the disciples when Jesus was asleep in the boat. All the disciples could do was watch the storm and listen to it. Now just imagine for a moment, can you hear the wind whistling and the waves just not just splashing against the boat, but slamming against the boat, and the boat's being tossed and here and there. You see, just like I said, like the sailboats in the wind. Now, this boat that they're in, which no doubt had a sail on it, is just being just tossed here and there. And what happened was the storm drowned out the calmness of the Master sleeping to them. And how did they interpret it? It was, Master, don't you even care if we drown? You see, they feared what the words of Jesus could easily control. They feared this. Jesus simply said to the storm, peace, be still. Peace, be still. You know, I did that just yesterday. There were storms coming, and I was talking to a fellow who's an electrician working on with a contracting company that's building a sizable addition to a church here in our town where the World Hub's located. And he was talking about the storm, and I said, I know. And he said, it's the most amazing thing. All this was coming straight for us, and then we hardly got anything. It went around us, went over us, but it didn't touch us. And I said, I know. I said, I went out and I commanded it, peace be still. Now, sometimes I get some very interesting reactions from that. This person accepted it absolutely. With shock, but they accepted it. And then I told him about another time when a tornado was coming, and I had done the same thing. Now, it's not because I'm so super special, maybe. It's Jesus, you see. It's the name of Jesus. It's doing what Jesus did. If Jesus could say, peace be still, we can say, peace be still. Because we're the body of Christ here in this earth and on this earth and in this world today. You see, the very storm which had confused the disciples and drowned out the peace of God. Now, notice what they thought. The peace of God had been drowned out, but they thought they were going to drown. Notice the deception from the enemy. So the very storm which had confused the disciples drowned out the peace of God in their spiritual ears so they couldn't hear. You see, now, the peace of God could easily hear and respond to Jesus' words. You see, because when Jesus said, peace be still, peace came. Peace was there. Do you think that for 1 minute Jesus wondered, well, I wonder if this will work? You see, he probably said it with great confidence. Now, it's a little bit like somebody who may have a check they're writing and go, I wonder if this check is covered. You see, but if you know it's covered, you don't worry about it. Well, Jesus knew that what he was saying was covered. He knew that he was in his area of authority, and so are we when we speak these kinds of things. It's amazing the things that we will listen to. For example, let me tell you, a lot of people don't like Deuteronomy chapter 28. And do you know why they don't like chapter 28 of Deuteronomy? Because they say, oh, that's the chapter that's full of curses, of bad things that will happen to you. Well, you see, it does say, In Deuteronomy 15, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Now I want you to notice something. No place there does God say, I will put this on you. You know, there are other places in the scripture where it says that when you're in tune with God, when you're listening to God, when you're not distracted by the noises of the world, it tells you that the blessings will come upon you and overtake you. Does it not? That's in there. Now listen to what it says. You will be cursed in this city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed. You know, a lot of people do not realize the effect that they can have on other generations just by their behavior, because they think, well, I've heard people say, I'm not hurting anybody but me. That's not what the Word of God says. The fruit of your womb will be cursed and the crops of your land. Now, the fruit of your womb just doesn't mean someone's pregnant with right now. You have to understand that. And the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. Now, I know this is a little bit negative, but there's some things here I just want to point out to you. The Lord will send on you curses. Now, here it says the Lord will send on you curses. And what are they? Confusion. You'll be rebuked in everything you put your hand to, until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil. Not because of a mean God, because we bring it on ourselves. You have done in forsaking Him. In there, you will find, if you can go through all those curses, you can see these things happening to people in the United States, in America today. It's amazing that you can go through that and you can see that. Now, it took a lot longer to tell about the curses than it did about the blessings. But the blessings cover everything in the curses. So what you have to do is you need to be familiar with both of them, read the curses and say, wait a minute, there's a blessing that covers that, which is why it won't happen to me. In everything you do, it says day after day, you will be oppressed and robbed and no one will rescue you. Well, the scripture says that God will rescue you, that He is your protection. That's a blessing. But you have to understand, Deuteronomy 28 is one of the most powerful chapters in scripture to help people understand why many things happen to them. It says, one of them says here, some of you guys will like this, you will be pledged to marry a woman, you won't like what's going to happen. You'll be pledged to be married to a woman, but another will take her and ravish her. You will build a house, but you will not live in it. You will plant a vineyard, but you will not even begin to enjoy its fruit. Your ox will be slaughtered before your eyes, but you will eat none of it. If you're a person who is out there just beating your head against the wall and there never seems to be anything good coming from it, if all the fruit that you have out there that you're building on suddenly, before it ever really comes to fruition, just withers and dies, then you have to check yourself out with the book, with what the Word of God says. But remember, Jesus stood up in the middle of a storm when they thought all was lost. Now, they were in their boat. They thought they were going to lose their livelihood. If you look at all the things that they could have lost, as well as their lives, and Jesus simply said, peace, be still. And peace and stillness came. Now, one of the other things that would cause us to say to people, what did you say, is a poor connection. We have all experienced a poor connection over a phone or the like at some time. Many people will argue with another over the ability or lack of ability to hear God. The real problem is a poor connection. If people do not seek God regularly in His Word and in prayer, I mean daily, they will have a poor connection. What'd you say, God? What did God say? Oh, I don't know. Oh, I'm confused. Well, this is what I think God said. And then you get into, well, what do you think God said? You know, I can remember one time I was an aide to a person who held a fairly high political office. And somebody wanted this person to bring about a certain thing. And so they came to me thinking, since I was close to this individual, if they could get me to support it, then I could get them to support it, and then they would have what they wanted. And they said to me, how does so-and-so feel about this? Now, this person was in a legislative body, and they said, how does he feel about this? And I said, you know, if I wanted to know how so-and-so felt about it, I believe I'd ask so-and-so. Well, that wasn't the answer they wanted to hear. And, of course, I'm called to spread what God wants people to hear, but at the same time, I say to people, you need to be seeking God. And you need to be doing it regularly in His Word and in prayer. And I do mean daily. Otherwise, you'll find yourself having a poor connection. There'll be a lot of static from the world that will get in between you and God because you'll become distracted by the cares of this world. Now, this happened with Jesus' disciples. They're in that boat. Jesus would speak to a crowd even. How many times can you remember, if you've read through the Gospels, and I hope you have, and if you haven't, get into the Gospel of John today, read the book of Acts after that, then read Galatians and Ephesians, and go back and pick up the other Gospels, and then once you've got a good foundation there, step back into the Old Testament after you've read the book of Hebrews and the New Testament. Now, what happened with Jesus? Back to what happened with Jesus here with the disciples. Jesus would speak to a crowd, and His disciples would ask for a clarification because they had not yet become close enough to experience a good, continual connection with God with the ability to hear. They couldn't hear what He was saying. They heard the words, but they did not understand. The person who is uncertain of God and His promises will be spiritually unstable, and they'll be unstable in every way. James 1:8 tells us that. You know, an unstable person, a person who wavers in their about God, is unstable in every way of their life because they'll always have to be asking themselves the same questions over and over again because they won't accept the truth. They'll accept it for a convenience here, but they won't accept it for an inconvenience there from their point of view. And so they'll become double-minded, and the Word says a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways, not just a few. Not just the spiritual things, they are unstable in all their ways. So the person who is uncertain of God and His promises will be spiritually unstable. And they'll be spiritually unstable and emotionally unstable and physically unstable. You see, stability comes from God. It comes through the Spirit. The Spirit is to control the mind. And if the mind is under the control of the Spirit, then the body will be under the control, and there will be stability. So look at both of the promises of God in Deuteronomy 28. God's will and the curse is not God's will. Choose blessings. He said, I set before you life and death, choose life. Well, life with Scripture is an open book test. You cannot cheat on finding out what God wants because He's got it there for you, page after page after page. It is a gift from God. As I say, not often unwrapped by many people. But those people who wrap it tend to be, from my point of view, some of the most tightly wrapped people in the world. Did you ever meet somebody who is not very tightly wrapped? They, you know, the old story, I had a friend who said to me, yeah, so-and-so there, they get on their horse and they go off in all directions at the same time. Because they were just confused. So look in Deuteronomy there. See how it works, what God's desire is. You see, the curses of the world were never meant for you. You actually have to invite them. Because God says that your enemies will be defeated before you. He says the fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your fields and flocks. The baskets and your kneading trough will be blessed. He says you'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. Now, I'll tell you, do you expect to be blessed when you go in or blessed when you go out? Let me ask you a question. Do you go to work and say, oh, I'm probably going to get a lousy schedule this week, and then you get it and you go, I knew it. Well, that's what you had faith for. You had faith for a lousy schedule, and you got exactly what you had faith for. You said it, you created it, and you got it. Because we're made in the image of God, and we're creative beings. But God's desire is that we be blessed. It says the Lord will establish you as His. Notice something. The Bible is full of the Lord will. It says that Christ will build His church, and people go around trying to build His church. No, we're to build His kingdom. He'll build His church. There are many tasks, if you don't understand the Scripture, that you take on thinking that they're the tasks you're supposed to do. Then when things don't work out, you get mad at God. Do you understand many people's difficulties with God are from their own misunderstandings and therefore misunderstood expectations? If Jesus said, cast your care onto Him, and you never do, you spend your whole life wringing your hands, caring, 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 you're not walking with Him. You see, there's been interference. There's a poor connection. But the Lord God says that He will open the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send the rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. Now, how much of the work of your hands? All of it. Every little bit of it. And I will tell you, there's nothing better. Did you ever hear, remember, if you've seen some old movies, now I remember when this was the case, but some of you haven't seen this, and some of you around the world may still have some trains like this. When a train would start out, and you'd hear, foof, 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 and then suddenly, boy, they'd just be racing along. That's what happens when you're walking with God. At first, you can hear every little puff and every little huff and every little bit as it's going along. But then, you see, once you're in sync, everything goes more smoothly. Everything goes more rapidly. I don't know how many people have said to me, well, I just keep waiting for God to do this and do this and do this, and I've listened to them, and they will plant good seeds. And then they'll say things like, well, I just don't know when my seeds will come up. I don't know if my seeds will ever come up in my lifetime. Or I'll probably be too old to enjoy them when my seeds come up. Now, they won't necessarily say it in that way, but if you listen to people talk, you'll find that they're saying some form of that very thing. Somebody will say, well, I did this, but nothing good ever happens to me. Or it'll probably go to somebody else. These are things that actually counteract the Word of God. And we're creative beings. So God's going, and your angels are standing there with their arms folded, going, well, we can't go take care of that because they say this is the way it's supposed to be. Sometimes we are the person who gets in our way more than anybody else. Now, we want to blame the devil. We want to say God didn't show up. We want to say somebody tripped us. We want to say all sorts of things. And it's so difficult sometimes. I've been there. I know. It's so difficult to say, you know, I blew it. You know, I got distracted. The loud noises of the world got in my way. I got so busy that I let the connection become poor. What did you say? That's the title of this message. What did you say? I'll tell you this. The Word of God promises that if you'll draw close to Him, He will draw close to you. My suggestion is, go to God and say, what did you say? Chances are he might say, get out the book. And while you're in the book, he'll tell you not only what he said, but he'll tell you what he's saying to you right now, for you to carry through and accomplish what you're to accomplish in the gift you have of life, which is nothing more than breath. Take away your breath, your life is gone. Don't die with, as they say, the music still in you, with songs you haven't written, poems you haven't written, books you haven't written, people you haven't blessed. Live your life to the fullness. Let the blessings of God overtake you. Don't become distracted. Keep the connection strong. And don't let the noise of the world interfere. But remember, God loves us all enough to give us the book so we can say, what did you say? And get an answer. Won't you do that today? That's my message for this session. And my prayer is that you will dive in, not just stick your toe in the test of water, but you will dive into the Word of God. And while there, gain a close connection. A peace be still in your heart. And let the blessings overtake you. And that is my prayer for you today. So I say the blessings of our Lord on you and all that's yours, by blood, by adoption, or by assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. This is a Sojourner. Until next time, we'll be talking to you then. Bye.